Hello, welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and this is just a quick me on my own, but I'm actually joined by the co-host, my former co-host, but now the host of Reboot Republic, and academic, and how would I put this? Probably one of the most active housing campaigners in the country over the last decade, but has certainly come to the fore in the last few months. Rory Hearn. Rory, how are you keeping?
I'm great, Tony. I'm great. I miss you.
Yeah.
I miss you on Reboot.
Listen, we just to let listeners know, we said we were doing a deep dive across the Tortoise Shack into the Housing for All plan, and we certainly are. There's two podcasts already done with a renter's perspective, academics perspective, experts perspective, and some of the leading journalists, including Lisa Nealon and Killian Woods, already out there in the ether. If you're a member at patreon.com/Tortoise Shack. The links are already there for you to go and listen to them.
I just want to reiterate and to thank you, Tony, and you know the platform Tortoise Shack to be able to do these podcasts today on Reboot, you know, which cover a deep analysis of the Housing for All plan is just incredible. And I would, you know, really ask listeners to become a patron, because it just showed to me the invaluable nature of this podcast to be able to provide that space. So thank you.
No, and I think it's really testament to the work that's gone in for the last few years, Rory. And that's why it's great and there's more coming, by the way, folks. There's at least three more panels lined up and more information. We will be speaking, I believe, shortly enough, Rory, when we get the time to the minister himself. But nonetheless, we're doing the deep dive. The reason I wanted to have this quick conversation with you is because you're asking the questions at the moment, what people's overall analysis of it. You wrote an interesting piece, obviously, in the Irish Examiner. We can link to it and listeners can go and have a read. But overall, you're disappointed, Rory, with this as a missed opportunity. Is that a fair way to put it to you?
Yeah, it is, Tony. And like I want to start by, I take absolutely no pleasure out of, you know, writing an article which, you know, and highlighting the inadequacies of a plan. I really, really wanted, and you know, I wrote a book last year that set out what should be in a plan that could be solved this housing crisis. I've highlighted, you know, for years and been campaigning very hard and, you know, putting across the evidence base of what's needed to solve this crisis. And I really genuinely thought that there would be more substantive depth of policies in Housing for All that would address this. In particular, you know, the vision, you know, of what we're trying to do with housing in this country. And I was really struck by that, the absence of an overriding vision. It talks about sustainability, but I straight away went to the document when I saw it and I searched the document for a right to housing. Not one mention of
which is,
right to housing.
Which I need to push in there, because that's very disappointing. There's no mention for right to housing. The last time I spoke to the Minister for Housing on this podcast, he said he supported it. The first time we spoke to him when he was the Fianna Fáil spokesperson for housing, Rory, you put it to him and he said he supported it. And now, so that strikes me as a failure in his as as minister to get it into the document, because there has to be internal pressures pushing back against it.
I imagine that's the case, yes, because he has said he supports the right to housing. We know that in the programme for government that Fine Gael pushed very, very hard that there wouldn't be an explicit recognition of the right to housing. And the compromise was the wording that there would be a referendum on housing, no right to housing. And the document does say, the Housing for All plan does say that there will be a referendum discussed by the Housing Commission. My fear is this is all mothballing. It's not actually. And the fact that there was no even policy acknowledgement of an explicit aim that we want to ensure everybody has the right to housing in this country, to me says they're not really behind it. And so there's a lot more needed. But I just wanted to say that, you know, I wanted a plan that was going to give people hope. You know, like I've been working on this and I work with people who are affected by the crisis. You know, I'm in touch with them every day. This is a social catastrophe. It is an absolute humanitarian you know, the mental health impact, the stress this is causing. I wanted to write an article that would give people hope, and I take no pleasure in people, you know, adding more to people's sense of lack of hope around this. But I really think we need to give an honest analysis of it. And my honest analysis, having read the document, is that it absolutely fell short in terms of particularly, and this is really important, what the state can do, because the headline figure of 33,000 homes per year, the 300,000 homes, that's completely misleading, because only less than half of those homes are going to be in, you know, essentially funded by the state in some respect. The government can't tell that the private sector is going to build. They don't know what they're going to build tomorrow, not to mind next year or the next decade. So I think that the issue around it, and we need to look at it, they're talking about 18,000 cost rental homes. And this is a really important, cost rental is where people on essentially average incomes can get an affordable rental secure home from housing associations, local authorities. To have any sort of impact on providing people in the rental sector a secure home and providing a supply that would actually bring down rents, they needed to be building 100,000 cost rental homes over a decade, 10,000 a year.
Oh, well, the lack of ambition in it. I remember we saw it again where it was announced in the recent by-election where there were members of the government parties campaigning saying successfully launching cost rental in our district, and it was 400 units. And of the 400, cost rental doesn't mean what it means elsewhere either, Rory. You know, it's important that listeners get that the definition of cost rental, as you put it, is, you know, that it's based on your income, of ability to pay, and you can pay X amount of your income. It's factored into the price of production. But we have a definition now of cost rental as basically the market rent less 25%. That's discounting. Same way we've done in this country affordable housing schemes whereby, you know, local authorities bought up units and sold them at 20% below the rate. And we all know where that disaster led us. I also want to point out, and I don't know if it's been said much, but I looked at all the Hibernia REITs, the Glenveighs, the IRES REITs, and none of their share prices took any so much as a wobble on the launch of this plan. In fact, they all went up slightly. And that is always a key determinant of how effective they view this to be. The markets have already viewed it's business as usual.
Absolutely. No, and I think, you know, we pointed that out after the last measures they implemented around the investment funds on stamp duty, you know, IRES, REIT, the share prices went up. And I think, you know, it is really important to point that out. And I do make that point in the article in the Examiner. This plan, I think, was based on essentially what the institutional investment funds asked government to do, what developers asked government to do. Because when you look at the area of rents in particular, this is really important. There is no measure to freeze rents. There is no aim to reduce rents.
But the Taoiseach just said there was a rent freeze when that is not true.
No, absolutely not. The rent is linked to inflation. We know inflation is running in the region of 1% to 2%. We also know, really importantly, that any new unit that's built for the rental market can be set at whatever rent the builders, investors want. So there's no cap on those rents, and they are setting the market rent. So that's really important. That is absolutely untrue.
And again, if I can say one other thing about that setting the rent, just to put that in context, as has been pointed out by the Irish government's own economic evaluation services, that where these funds are the main, you know, they have 40% of the bed occupancies. Basically, they're the main tenant in a electoral district. They set the rent. They set the rent for the private market across the board. So don't be under any illusion where they say, oh, they're only small players. They're not. They actually, the government's own report said they're the people who set the rents.
Yeah, they are. And it there was a couple of things that struck me in it as well, that the affordable home ownership and this promotion of home ownership as the mention, you know, the key tenancy, everybody wants to become a homeowner. Like, I was thinking for a moment, like, did they not sit down and think, you know, like 10% of our households in the region of about 200,000 households, you know, what are you talking about? Close to 350, maybe 500,000 people live in social housing. It didn't want to mention, you know, the value of social housing, you know, what it does, you know, the security it gives. It essentially talked all about the squeezed middle and this idea of home ownership. But I think they're really in danger of tripping themselves up, and really, because there's a contradiction at the heart of the plan, which is, on the one hand, they're saying they're all about promoting home ownership, but on the other hand, they're all about, you know, the investment funds still very clearly, they're talking about the Department of Finance going out to these international trade shows to invite in the investor funds to build private rental. So And not just build private rental. We know the investment funds are going to come in here and continue to buy up secondhand homes, to buy up apartments, to buy up new apartment blocks. So generation rent, and even in terms of home ownership, they're still going to be locked out. And on the one hand, by institutional investors, which the government is promoting. And on the other hand, the issue of the affordable homes that they're going to provide. My understanding, they're saying 36,000 affordable homes they're going to provide over a decade. Like, that's a drop in the ocean. Like, I was, there's 450,000 young adults living at home with their parents.
Can I make one point on that? That we've repeated this ad nauseum over the last number of years. By saying that, what they've actually said, and we put this to Dara O'Brien several times, what you're actually saying by definition is the rest of the homes, the majority of the homes that you're producing by definition are unaffordable.
Absolutely, yeah.
No other market in the world would come out and say, by the way, you know, 10%, 15% are going to be affordable and 85% by definition are unaffordable. You know, yeah. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And I think there was a number of things that were really fudged, or not fudged, but good ideas that are in the plan, but that aren't being implemented for years to come. And to me, that's the real sense of the unwillingness to challenge or really intervene in the market prices and the market rent. So the land value tax that they're going to bring in, the vacant tax, the land value sharing, on rezoned land, the vacant site tax, all, you know, shoved down the line 6-7 years, even the 20%, the change from 10% part five to 20% part five is not going to come in for 5 or 6 years. It's all about pushing things down the road rather than, like, you would have thought a vacant property tax. Like, why would you just not signal we're going to introduce that in the budget? Like, it's just, it's mind-boggling. And I think that I don't know whether, and I've talked about this before, and we've talked about this, Tony, like, is it they don't understand it, really, what's needed? Is it that they are absolutely captured by investment funds and the developers, the market? Is it that they don't care? Or is it that there's actually Fianna Fáil of one view and Fine Gael of another, and it's like...
I look, that way lies madness, but we can only judge them on what they said. So yesterday, the Taoiseach said that, you know, that they would look after investors, you know, that they would be satisfied by this plan. You actually write the point out the word sustainability is used several times, but there's no sustainable... there's no actual meat on those bones of what that actually means in terms of what we're doing, in terms... Because you've written a piece a few weeks ago about climate action, good housing policy, that there's no meat on those bones in it. It also reminds me again of only a few months ago I was on the Zoom call where the Taoiseach addressed these funds that were on the call, and he did say to them, stick with us.
Yeah.
So it's very clear to me that based on that this plan, the reason some of these things are in on the never never is the same way we phased out the double Irish. We had an announcement saying we phased out the double Irish, but we left it open for another 4 or 5 years. And in fact, we actually built in other ways for these tax deals to be done, because we do cater to foreign capital. And unfortunately now, Rory, that seems to have won the day. I mean, as I said, their share price hasn't dipped. Their share price has actually grown. And not only that, but I haven't heard any complaints from within the ranks of Fine Gael, actually. I've heard them welcoming the plan broadly. And some of them, you know, have come out in favor of the big, and some of the other things that worry about the word sustainability, again, going back to it, nothing about the one-off housing versus, you know, rural planning and these things, because again, vote getters and what they're going to do. So it's,
I think you're right to raise the issue of sustainability and the environment. And I was struck by Eamon Ryan saying that, you know, sustainability or the climate, you know, ran through the heart of this document. He obviously didn't read it, because it doesn't. And the target, I was really struck by the target for the private rental sector to introduce, this is only introducing minimum BER ratings for the private rental sector, is not due to come in until 2025. And they actually have a little proviso in the sentence where they say the target, where feasible, it will be brought in 2025. I'm like, it makes a mockery of climate change targets elsewhere, where, like, what they could have done, I was thinking, like, an obvious idea would be you would put a fund in place where private landlords could actually access a fund. And this is now, it should be not investor funds, But, you know, the one-off or two-off or three-off private landlords can get a fund where they would invest in their property, bring it up to zero carbon rating, and in return, they would have to give an affordability rent and a lifetime security to the tenant.
I mean,
there's all sorts of things they could have done, but it just seemed, again,
even some of the good things that they've done in terms of, you know, some of the steps to kind of cut down on land speculation has been put out till 2026 or 2027. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is really saying to guys, you know, get your spoke in now. Same way we do everything in Ireland. We got rid of co-living, but if you have an application bouncing around, we'll still, you know, it's still good to go. So we won't close that window until, you know, 6 months, 12 months down the line. Can you tell me though, here's a question for you. It's probably unfair, but it's nonetheless, I think it's worth looking at. Steps on further on from the likes of Rebuilding Ireland, which was an unmitigated disaster. Is this a step further towards what you were looking for, or is this just the same thing, just under a different name?
No, I think to be fair, it is a step forward in that it is very much, if we look at Rebuilding Ireland, part of the problem is there's not the detail. There was actually more detail in Rebuilding Ireland. If you look at social housing, for example, it is very positive that and welcome that the plan sets out a commitment to deliver a commitment to build 9,500 social housing units per year. That's a very positive commitment. You know, I was struck again by Leo Varadkar talking during the press conference about naming 2016 when there was only a few hundred units built and going, you know, that was your austerity policies. But that was an aside. But I think that's a positive development. The issue is the detail of who is going to build them. How are they going to be built? And Dara had a pop at me on Morning Ireland this morning.
I was going to ask you about that, yeah.
Yeah, saying that, oh, sure, it doesn't matter. You know, me and others are caught up in pointless debates about, you know, who is actually going to build these units. Well, it does actually matter. And why it matters is because if you look at it, at the moment we're buying the majority of local authority and housing association, social housing that's been nominally said it's being built is being bought from the private market. That takes supply away from the private market, number one. And what it also doesn't do is it doesn't create a capacity for the state to actually build itself, which is needed because they're talking all about capacity. Where is the capacity going to come from to build these units? And this is another point I make. We should be setting up, I believe, a public home building agency that would give construction workers, the trades, permanent, secure, well-paid jobs. That would build capacity. Because at the moment, a lot of them face bogus self-employment, as Martin well knows and, you know, explains very eloquently. So if you want to build capacity, it does matter who builds these. And it does matter in terms of the market as well in adding to supply. The other thing in terms of welcoming, the social housing is important. There's a recognition of the role of local authorities, at least in name, the importance of those. The cost rental is very significant. It is, as I said, cost rental is a potential game changer. If you had 100,000 cost rental homes available, that changes absolutely your housing system. It means that people who can't buy a home have the option don't qualify for social housing, have the option and can get an affordable, secure home. And it puts a real competition to the private rental market. So that was welcome that it's there. So the potential is there now to really expand that. The issue, of course, is it's not expanded. There are areas that fall down from Rebuilding Ireland and change from Rebuilding Ireland, which is the growth of the investment funds. And I think that's really problematic. This plan is essentially a plan for investment funds, the institutional investors to keep coming in here, buying up, building. And I think that's really problematic. They are about commodifying, charging the highest rents, turning over tenants, locking out people from being able to buy a home. I think that's a change. And I think that ultimately could be the biggest failure within this plan and could be the biggest block to them achieving their home ownership targets.
Rory, I think we'll leave it there. We've more coming out throughout the day. Again, patreon.com/tortoiseshack if you want to hear everything. We have so much coming out and there's one consolidated feed. So as it comes out, you will get the notifications. Really appreciate the work you've done, Rory, here. It's been fantastic to see it acknowledged and to see, you know, take it as a badge of honour when the Minister for Housing is going on the national broadcaster and identifying you as a pebble in his shoe. You know, I think that's a compliment. We'll talk to you all very shortly.
Cheers,
folks.
Tony. Thanks a million.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.